No, what are you, okay, so what are you going to say?
I hope you're going to end it like that.
I am. Awesome. I'm totally going to end it like that.
That's awesome.
This is episode 154 on March 17th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and some other stuff. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
I skip a week, and I already butcher the introduction. How's it going, Matt?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What you been Excellent. Up to?
Oh boy, all kinds of things. You know, the big thing I did this week was I finally decided to take advantage of one of the cloud backup things that we've been talking about lately.
Yeah.
So when you and I talked about it on the show, whenever that was, like a month ago, one of the things I think we mentioned was Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I have Amazon Prime. I'm totally going to do that. And then probably within 10 minutes, I forgot about it. And then on the show this past week, or last week, rather, Mark mentioned it again. And he said that he was using it. And I was like, you know, I really need to do that. So I set it up this past week, and I basically backed up my entire phone on it.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, as far as my photos go, anyway, photos and videos. Okay. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It took about 5 hours or so to get everything synced, but it's all there, and I'm pretty happy with that.
So everything that's on your phone is now backed up on Amazon?
Yep.
Oh, great. Yeah, I listened to...
They have a dedicated app called Amazon Photo, so I can go into that app and, you know, I can see all the photos and videos there. And then there's also a like an app of sorts that is on my Mac computer.
Oh, very cool.
That I can go into. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I see your Amazon Photos, and it looks like it is free. Of course.
It is free. It's free for photos. If you're going to do videos, you get a certain amount of storage for that. It's like 10 gigabytes. And then after that, I think you have to pay for more storage.
Yeah. That's
but cool. In any case, I don't do a whole lot of videos, so I don't really – that's okay. And I'm already an Amazon Prime subscriber, so – you know, I get the service for free. And then another thing that kind of swayed me towards trying the Amazon thing is that I have the Amazon Fire Stick, the little streaming TV thing. And I can look at all the pictures and stuff on the TV now. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Sort of like what Apple TV does like with your iPhone.
Exactly. Like I have... I can look at all my pictures on my Apple TV, but now this is just I have one TV with an Apple TV hooked up to it and another TV with the Amazon Fire Stick hooked up to it. So no matter which TV I go to, I could see my photos, which is cool.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I listened. And videos, so I listened to last week's episode, and I was like,
wasn't
"Oh,
it
yeah,
an amazing show."
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. No, thanks to Mark and you for holding down the fort. It was fun to listen and be instead of a participant, a bystander and listening to the show. But I said the same thing. I'm like, oh, I'm a Prime user. I need to do that too. So my homework for this week is to start backing up at least my wife's photos onto Amazon. And get her stuff all backed up. Because right now, I'm her backup. Whatever she texts me is what gets saved. So I need to get hers off of her phone and into the cloud. So Today's episode is going to be slightly different. We're going to be talking more about the iPhone than we are about photography. It's been sort of the theme. My adventures this last week is kind of what I want to talk about. But first, I wanted to mention that this coming Monday, I believe, is the Apple announcement for a new phone. And right now, everybody is sort of saying that it's going to be the iPhone SE, which I believe is a smaller iPhone than the actual 6 is and more in lines with the iPhone 5. I could be mistaken. But we have that announcement that's coming up. I think there was one other thing. There's been some leaked images of the twin camera device that goes into the iPhone. And I'll have links for that from Petapixel and or Mac Rumors. But somebody has leaked out those images. So that makes sense that, you know, what everybody's been saying about having a dual camera iPhone. I really want to see what it's going to be like, and I just hope they're not pulling our leg. So those are sort of the updates to the rumors that have been swirling around. So we'll see what happens Monday, but then I think we'll have some more stuff coming up in the near future.
Maybe it's all an early April Fool's joke.
Yeah, that would be good. Dave says the SE is a 4-inch model of the with the 6S inside without the 3D touch. Okay, and that's all. That's all speculation and rumors. So, you know, I think the iPhone 6 was pretty spot on with a lot of the rumors. The 6S was pretty spot on. So I think in the near future, what happens to be rumored most likely will happen. And so we'll just have to see from there. All right. So let me do this.
Focus point.
All right. So today's going to be a little bit different. I went on a trip this last week to Dallas, and we drove. There was six of us all together in the van, and we took our adventure to the Big D. And had a great time. We got there and back, relatively no problems. But we left out on a Tuesday. And on Wednesday morning, we were going through Louisiana when they shut down I-20 for flooding. There was some big storms that happened to go up through Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, all in that area. It just dumped a ton of water, and it was interesting. The interstate slowed down to a crawl, and they were actually taking people up the off ramp, shuttling them over to the on ramp heading back the opposite direction. And we're like, that's not the direction we want to go. And so I was thinking to myself, we've got these great devices in our hands. You know, how can we use them, besides taking pictures, how can we use them to get us from a point A to point B when there's an obstacle in the way? And I downloaded on the road Waze. And the Waze app was great, especially for situations like what we were in. Because people were crowdsourcing information. Not only that, the state of Louisiana had posted on Waze all the different road closures that were because of flooding. And what should have been a 30-minute drive from one side of Shreveport to the other ended up taking us about 4 hours. And every road that we took, every direction that we took, was closed because of flooding. And we were able to get to this one last road, and we're like, well, we don't have anything to lose. We'll just head that way, see if we can get across. And sure enough, there were people still crossing the road. There was water going over the road, and it's not very safe to do that, but there was a lot smaller vehicles that were doing it, and we could still see the road. And so we decided to go across, and as we got across, there was a policeman coming from the opposite direction, and I knew that he was going to shut it down. But Waze was very helpful and a great tool in a natural disaster, especially when it came to the roads. And I was thinking, you know, we take pictures with this iPhone. We use our smartphones a lot, and sometimes you just don't know when you'll have to try and get past the situation. What would happen if there was no connectivity, if the cell phone service went out? You know, it's virtually useless. But while in a natural disaster and we have communications, we have apps that are able to help us out, not only to communicate, but also to show, like some of the roads I would post, turn around, don't go this way, you won't be able to get across. And that'd probably save people the trip going all the way down to the water and then coming back. But also, there are other situations that you may need to use your device as a way to, for safety or for passing on information. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit and kind of, explore some different things and do all that. But our trip was good. We got to Dallas. We had no problems while we were in Dallas. We ended up taking a more northern route up into Tennessee from Dallas and then cut back down into Alabama. There was another big storm system that was just pounding Louisiana and Alabama and Texas. They had a lot of flooding, but we were able to stay ahead of the storm. And with the weather app, you can see where the storm is in real time. With Waze, you can see if there's any road closures ahead and be able to try to carve a path around it. And then there are other things built into the phone. Like the whole trip, we were getting emergency weather alerts saying there's flooding in your area. And so it's to help you to be kind of aware of your surroundings and are able to stay safe pretty much. But have you ever had to use your phone in those types of situations yet, Matt?
I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I needed to, like, the same way that you did. But I have used it to, especially for traffic, you know, to kind of figure out in advance if a route I want to take is a good way to go or something. A lot of times I'll use it just to kind of look at the Pennsylvania Turnpike if I'm driving to Harrisburg from Ohio. Uh-huh. or returning home or whatever, because the Turnpike is a highway that has very few exits. So if you get stuck in a accident or something like that, you could be sitting there for a really long time with nowhere to go. And, you know, being that I have a toddler in the car, it's not very prudent to be stuck on the road for hours at a time with no food and you know, stuff like that. So I do use the phone, you know, and Waze in particular in that capacity. But yeah. But while, you know, while you're talking about like alerts and how you were able to post, you know, don't go down this road because it's flooded, it got me thinking about what if we could find a way to do this for photography, like, hey, go down this road because there's this cool barn, yes. Or, you know, kind of direct photographers to like a cool scene or a cool, you know, rusted out antique car on the side of a road or something like that.
There has to be an app for that. All right, chat room, research it. Let us know.
There is one that's sort of close to that. I don't think it's exactly what I'm thinking in my head, but Trey Ratcliffe's app, Stuck in Customs.
Oh,
is that what it's called?
Yes. Or
what the app's called, but he's got an app that is, I believe, kind of along those lines. Like you could kind of, you know, pull up a, you know, a town or a city or whatever and see, you know, photos that people are taking there and kind of figure out like where they took those photos from, so you can go and visit those spots or whatever.
Is it Stuck on Earth?
Yeah, I believe so.
Sounds
about right.
See here. I believe, let's see here, I'm going to try OS. He has Stuck on Earth, and then he has All right, beautiful and fun photography apps. So there's Stuck on Earth, 100 cameras in one.
And it's the Stuck on Earth app.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not exactly what I'm thinking, but probably as close as we're going to get right now, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But and actually one of the things that happened recently that kind of made me think about this also is I went this past weekend to a, we'll call it like a birding event that was, a little, like an hour west of where I live in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And it was like at this, in an area where there's a bunch of like really big marshes. And this time of year, a lot of the birds that are migrating back north, they kind of stop there to rest and stuff like that. So, this past weekend there was like an event and, you know, there's all kinds of like hardcore birders roaming around with their spotting scopes and their cameras with their gazillion millimeter lenses and everything. And, in the afternoon, my son was really tired. So he fell asleep in his car seat. So I'm just kind of driving around and we went to this one, marsh where they had a raised platform that you could go up on. And so we went there and I got out of the car, went up on the platform. There was a bunch of other birders there with their spotting scopes and whatnot. And while I was there, a guy showed up with his spotting scope and he comes up there and then he starts asking everyone like, hey, has anyone driven down this one particular road? Because I went down there last year and saw this, that, and other thing. And I was just wondering if anyone's been there and has seen, you know, these things. And because I don't want to waste my time going if there's nothing to see.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, while, you know, he was looking for birds, but that still could be related to photography, you know, if you're looking to photograph birds or whatever it is, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be about birds, but just whatever. Like, it'd be neat to have like a little network like that. Like, you know, hey, go down here because you'll see this cool thing that you'll probably want to photograph.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why, you know, there probably is already something there. We just need to, be able to research it and find it. But I think that would be a great app to spotlight and be able to, you know, look through and see if there is any things.
Yeah, we'll have to get on that. Maybe, I wish I knew how to develop apps now.
Yeah. Yeah. having the iPhone or any smartphone and being able to have the apps to be to not only be safe but to research, because you know there are those apps like where you can figure out where the sun is going to be at a certain time. You know, if you know the area you're going to be in and you need that golden hour, or yeah, or you think you're going to drive there and you're going to get a good sunset, but there happens to be a mountain in the way, you can have that type of research and save you a lot of time and energy in making sure that you have the shot that you want to get. One of the things that I when coming to safety is if you have small children, if you're in a large crowded area, like the time that I took Franklin to Lego Fest, I got down on his level. I told him, all right, I want you to smile and I'm going to take your picture, because one of the things that you can do is keep a current image of your children in your phone in case they get lost. And or if somebody took them, you can easily transmit that image to the police and they will send it off and have that, what he looks like in the clothing that he's in currently, and be able to track them down a lot faster. Because you can say, oh, well, I think he was wearing a Transformer shirt. I think he has, you know, I think his hair is sort of this way. He'd be wearing, I can't remember what color pants he was wearing. You know, us guys, we don't think about all those details. You know, moms would be like, oh, I put him in this shirt, that pants, he's wearing these shoes, and they'll have it. But having that image in your phone is a lot easier because it has all those details. It has everything that you need, so that if your child does get lost, that image is easily distributed throughout a network of police or security, or even if you have to, you know, try to pass it on in other ways, you'll have that. So that is a tip for keeping safe, especially with children, and other things. But if you guys have a tip that you use, or you think that we should, you know, sort of say, let us know. Go on to Facebook, send us an email, and let us know what you do with your smartphone and the apps that you use to be able to get around, like a natural disaster or traffic, or if you have an app that you use that crowdsource information on being able to get the perfect shot, or there's this road that has beautiful dilapidated houses on it, or has a beautiful scenery for landscaping. Let us know what you use, and that way the other people who listen to the show and are part of Facebook can find those apps and use them themselves.
Yeah, definitely. So actually, when you were talking earlier about your trip, you said something to the effect of, if the phone doesn't have like cellular or Wi-Fi service, it's kind of useless.
Oh, GPS. Right? Yes, yes.
Okay, so that made me think of something that it could be also photography related, because you were also talking about like the apps for like tracking the sunset and everything.
Yeah.
But it made me think of like just maps in general, and how there's a lot of apps now that will let you basically download a map so that it's available offline.
Yes.
So like if you do go somewhere where there's not, you know, cell service or whatever, the phone's able to still use the GPS function.
Yes.
And show you on that saved map where you are. So like I think even Google Maps right now has the ability to save maps offline.
Oh, that's
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's that is brilliant.
And not that I would ever be offline in a city, but If for some reason I was, like, whenever I visit a new city, I'm still not, like, super duper familiar with, like, how to get around Cleveland. I don't know, like, every street. And I was recently in Indianapolis, and it's the first time I'd ever really spent any time, like, in the city of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And there's an app called City Maps to Go, and basically you could download a map of whatever city you want, and then, you know, not only do you have this map that you can use offline, which is cool, but it also will show you, you know, points of interest and, you know, all kinds of different stuff, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm pulling that one up now. I will have these links in the show notes, and you can go to our show notes and be able to download them. Janine in the chat room says that you could also screenshot some of the maps too. But you know, having the GPS function is great. There were sections of Louisiana that had no cell service for me. The Verizon, the guys that had Verizon had service, but AT&T did not. And then there were times where it was vice versa. I had service, but the Verizon guys didn't, have it. So, you know, it depends on where you're at. You're not going to have, excellent cell service on little roads that are out in the middle of nowhere off of the interstate. You will have times where you're left with just a GPS function to show that there is a road that you're on. But the information for Waze was not there. You know, you couldn't pull up the weather app and be able to see which direction the storm was headed or if there was a bad cell of activity coming your way. But, you know, it just depends on where you're at and if you have service or not. So
yeah, definitely.
All right.
So it turns out that at some point in time I had downloaded that Stuck on Earth app, so I just re-downloaded it to my phone, so I'm going to check it out again and see if it's worthwhile.
Okay. Sir, anything else you want to mention on this subject?
No, just this is like another one of those like be safe episodes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking about it because, you know, it was fresh on my mind. The trip that I took was fun. I was glad I was with a bunch of guys and not with my family, because when you're with your family, you know, there's all other sorts of safety precautions that you think about. You know, my kids aren't in, you know, swimming condition, or, you know, they're not strong enough to be able to handle natural disaster scenarios. But when you're, you know, with friends that are your age and they know what to do in certain situations, you know, everybody has different types of things. You don't worry that much, but you also at the same time think, okay, what can I do next time to be more prepared? Or what has somebody done and they ran into this situation? What can I learn from them? And so I thought, this is great. You know, next time you go on a trip, have these apps available, because you never know when you will need to use them. And if you're in an area and you're like, oh shoot, I need to be able to get this app, and it's a dead zone, you can't download it. So I downloaded Waze on the fly because I was like, you know what? It's probably better that I have it on this trip, because normally I don't use it. I don't have a commute that requires me to have to get around a bunch of traffic. I go on trips kind of infrequently, and even if I do drive, usually it's to a place I already know, and so I don't have to worry about it. But traveling through the southern states, areas that I didn't know, I thought, you know what, I best have it just in case, and it ended up helping. We did find that one road that we were able to cross and get through without having to double back, take an entirely different route, and probably instead of getting there at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening, it would have probably been 2 o'clock in the morning. So I thought this was a good subject to kind of bring up.
All right. Good stuff.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do this. We're going to go and move into some, into our focus point. No, I'm not focus point. What was I thinking? We're going to move into our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. Our weekly photo challenge was minimal space. No,
we just called it minimalist.
Minimalist. Thank you. See, this is what happens when I take a week off.
The idea basically was just to tell a story with like the simplest picture that you could possibly take. So like kind of, I don't know, like a very, like maybe a very uncluttered background and a very definite subject.
Okay.
It was hard to explain, which made it a really hard, it made it a really hard challenge. And we got a lot of great pictures, in this challenge. Lots and lots of submissions actually. And I think a lot of the pictures did somewhat hit the mark on like what I think what we were kind of looking for.
They were in the spirit, but not quite the the guidelines.
They were close. A lot of them were close. So after looking through them all on both our Facebook group and the Flickr group, I have decided on one that I think really hits the nail on the head. And this one, it's comes from our Facebook group. It is by Bill Counts, who happens to be in our chat right
now.
And it's titled Pool Noodle. And he took this shot with Hipstamatic. And this is the reason why I picked it is because it's basically a picture of a pool noodle lying in the snow.
Yes.
And the lighting on it is just incredible. There's some very directional light. So there's like really a really good shadow along the pool noodle. It just really kind of sets it out from the snow, which is cool. And the fact that it's pink and the snow is white also helps. And then there's like some other, it almost looks like a seagrass type, like weed or whatever, or some kind of plant. It's also sticking out of the snow. So there's some good lines in the picture, but I think what I like the best about it is, the story that it tells. It's like the forgotten, you know, remnant of summer, you know, it's like somebody left this pool noodle and it's just there all by itself and it's getting snowed on and it's the only thing left from summer. So I just think that's really cool. It's, you know, he was able to kind of just see this scene that, I hate to use the word mundane, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
And he made this beautiful picture out of it. And it really, you know, it really does tell a story. So I think Bill really hit the nail on the head with this one. I love this picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And the thing that keeps drawing, there's a lot of different things about this that is like grabbing my attention. The noodle itself is a contrast to the rest of the image. But then you have the plants that are kind of hanging over at an angle. And then you have the chain link fence that is barely in the corner, yet it is somehow grabbing my eye. So there's a lot of stuff to this image that is getting my attention. But I think this is a great image.
Good deal. Yeah, I love it. I do like it. I'm like gushing about this picture, but it really is a pretty cool picture. The more I think about it, the more I just think it really fits the context of the contest.
Well, cool. Congratulations, Bill. And if you want to be post pick of the week, join us on Facebook or join us on Flickr. No, not Flickr. Yeah, Flickr.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's been a week.
I just want to quickly point out just a couple other things here real quick. This was a hard challenge in my opinion, but I think we got some of our most beautiful pictures that have been submitted.
Yes.
In this challenge. So I just want to quickly call out just like a few
real
quick.
Go for it.
So Ruth Elliott Klein, she had a few of these really killer pictures where it was just like a little bit of a tree sneaking into the frame, but the picture was mostly sky.
Yeah.
And definitely minimalist. And I liked the style. I just thought it was pretty, they were pretty cool pictures. Dave Podner, who's also in the chat, and Dave, if I mispronounced your last name, I apologize, but your picture of your running shoes, your sneakers on your feet. I really like the way that you edited that picture. It's pretty awesome. It's like a very high key, high contrast, black and white picture. It's a really good, it's kind of a great product shot, really. So I really like that. Nigel O'Connell's picture of the stone is really kind of the polar opposite of Dave's picture. Really kind of low. Well, there's contrast, but it's low key. You know, it's a dark background. I just like the way it's lit. It's pretty cool. And Jeff Simpson.
Yes.
Those pictures he posted are just gorgeous. He does the most amazing black and white pictures. I know you said you really like the one with the
leaves,
piece of the evergreen laying in the snow. And I am very fond of the picture of the
tables,
picnic tables kind of stacked on each other. That's just an epic black and white shot. And then Greg McMillan posted one just this evening of a bench that's along a stone wall with some ivy growing on it.
Yes.
Very well seen. Really like that picture a lot.
I like the one with the leaves on the yellow leaves on the black surface.
Yes, that's a good one too. It kind of looks like cracked mud or something.
Yeah, some sort of slate or something like that. Well, cool.
Yeah, just a lot of killer pictures this time around. So we have to really come up with a good topic for this next challenge to keep the ball rolling here.
Yes. Let me say this real quick. If you guys want to participate, if you want to see the images, if you want to get a good idea of what to do, join us on Facebook and Flickr. We have a wealth of beautiful images, of ideas. We have great camaraderie. We are, we are completely amazed at what you guys are doing. And I know for a fact that we have a lot of people out there that are listening that aren't participating, and they're really missing out. So please join us on Facebook and on Flickr and be a part of this online camera club, this virtual camera club that we have, because you guys make this podcast and our group that much better. So, all right, Matt, what do you have any ideas of what our next theme should be? Because we did get one submission on Facebook from Dave. He said, transitions with the change of the seasons. And I'm like,
Well, I realize that will be harder for some people yes. than others. I don't know. What's it like in your neck of the woods?
Well, all the trees are, it's been in the mid 80s and all the trees are blooming. So that means it's going to be pollen season, which everything is going to turn yellow here. I don't know. Did you have another idea by chance?
Well, all my ideas are terrible. So no.
Dave said, or just general transition. Greg says, what about green for St. Patrick's Day? Because, oh, yeah, today's St. Patrick's Day. Sunday is Easter. Thanks, Janine.
That's not
this Sunday. That's right. Not this Sunday. But Easter is coming up in 2 weeks. So we may save Easter for next week.
I like Dave's suggestion of transition.
Okay.
And I say we like he's saying, keep it very general. So it could be any kind of transition that you want, whether it's, you know, the seasons. Like I could do that here, and I know Dave can. He's in the Pittsburgh area. We're not very far apart from each other. And I'm starting to see, you know, a lot of things are starting to sprout up and the daffodils are blooming. And,
yes.
We took a little hike yesterday, actually, after work, and I was kind of noticing that the forest floor is really starting to get greener and, you know, a lot of plants are popping up. And then all the oak trees have red buds on them and everything. So things are definitely happening. And, you know, our Australian friends, I'm sure, you know, they're starting to transition into autumn. So let's see some of that.
Yes.
And our friends in England, I'm sure it looks the same there all the time. So I don't really know what you're going to do. And the same with Canada. You're still got 4 months of winter left. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You'll have to figure out a different kind of transition.
Oh, we have to save Dave on something real quick. Okay. He says to give proper credit, it was his wife, Ruth, that suggested that the transitions. So Ruth was the one that came up with it. Dave was the one that mentioned it.
Dave was the messenger.
Yes.
All righty. Well, good job, Ruth. I like that idea.
All right. So transition is going to be our weekly photo challenge. And I will post that today, which is Thursday. I'll post it on Facebook, and Matt will post it on Flickr. And I look forward to seeing your guys' submissions. You guys never cease to amaze, unless it's one of those really, really hard ones when nobody posts anything.
Yeah.
Oh, well, cool. Is there anything else you want to bring up?
I don't think so. No, nope. Just keep plugging along here.
All right.
I hope that somehow, some way, maybe I'll get a new computer soon.
Oh yeah.
I'm having massive issues.
You've been nursing that thing for a while now.
Yes. It's affecting all aspects of my photography at the moment.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, let me
basically play. My computer is not accepting photos being transferred to it anymore. It said no.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
Well, let me play this for you in remembrance of your computer.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, Matt?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, Twitter, IM, and Flickr at mhoffmanphoto.com. How about just mhoffmanphoto?
That works.
Yeah. But actually, don't forget about the Flickr group, guys. If you're on Flickr or want to be on Flickr, join us in the iPhonography a tiny shutter group on Flickr. We have, I think, 26 people in the group right now and getting close to 200 photos. A number of discussions have been started, which is pretty cool. We got one that I'm interested in. Someone was asking about our top six editing apps, so I'm going to dive into that in just a minute here. And
nice,
the Twitter or the Flickr group's going pretty well. So you can find that at www.flickr.com/groups/tinyshutter.
Excellent. You can find me, Joseph Ferreira, on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira, and you can find me on Flickr. Just go into the group and find my name. You can find the links to the show, all the show notes, links to Facebook, Instagram. Well, yeah, I think we have some Instagram, Flickr, and our email address, which is tinyshutter@gmail.com. And go on there, look around. If you have any questions, send us an email. If you have a question for the entire group, make a discussion in Flickr. Go on to Facebook and ask the question. There are a lot of people that have great ideas. We don't have all the answers, but with the crowdsource, we're able to get you that answer. And sometimes there is no answers, but it's a great way for us to be able to kind of find out for ourselves. So go to tinyshutter.com. All right. I'm going to go ahead and play. Well, actually, I think we're done. So great show, Matt.
Thanks, Joey. You too.
All right. And we will see you guys next week. Say goodnight, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
You know, I don't know why I like spaced. I actually did have like one other thing I wanted to bring up, but it's not a big deal. We can just talk about it now.
Oh, go ahead. I'll include this into the end of the show.
No. It's not worth it.
All right. Don't include. So everybody who's listening right now, you're not going to find out. Good luck. Bye.